Welcome to Howie Mandel Does Stuff. I'm Howie Mandel.
I'm Jacqueline Schultz.
And I'm kind of excited about today's show because this is one where this is a subject that is a huge buzz for a couple of years right now. I don't know anything about it. And you know that my I've never really trusted show business. And in order to not, I'm talking to you, Jackie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No. But I'm talking to the audience too. Yeah. And the thing is, I've been really lucky and I've been successful in show business and I've made some money in show business. But in my distrust for every job that I've had, as far as this is going to be my last, I've always looked to invest. And the safest way to invest, I've been in the stock market and I love real estate. But in the last couple of years, you know, the digital world, digital coins and bitcoins and all the different currencies that you can get have been a great source of, it's a crazy bear market, but it's kind of scary for me. That's a little conservative. I'm more conservative than investing in those markets. But then as part of an offshoot of that has been NFTs. And do you know what an NFT is?
Non-fungible token.
Well, yeah, you said the words, but do you know what you're talking about?
I do, because my husband's into it. I know a little bit. I feel like I know more than average person.
I know this is not, you know, this is going to sound like this episode is going to sound like it's I'm going to be taught and I'm going to be schooled. But I think it's important for everybody listening to kind of understand what this is, because I believe that this is not a fad. I truly believe that this is the way of the future. And I truly believe it is here to stay. And the best way that I can explain my understanding, and then I have three guests in the room right now who are kind of on the forefront of this NFT art world that speaks and kind of solidifies what the value of this market is. And that is, a non-fungible token is, for all intents and purposes, first, let me introduce you guys, because I'm going to ask for your voices to come in the midst of this, and then we'll talk to each of you individually. You are?
I'm John Lay, and independent artist, comic book artist turned independent artist for NFTs. I'm running through Olaplex right now.
Okay, and young lady?
I'm Cynthia. I'm the creator of CC Streaming and then also Starseed DAO. I'm Web3 Metaverse talent label.
Yeah, you're like a pop star in the metaverse, aren't you?
Yes, CC is.
and that's a character, which is kind of like, for a layman like me, like a CC is like an avatar.
Yeah, CC is the avatar, but she is also my metaverse alter ego. Yes.
Okay, but it's like when we go on video games and we pick a skin for our video games and we're this character that's blowing shit
Wasn't
up.
Wasn't there a movie like that where there was an avatar pop star? There was a movie about that, and she...
And yeah. Last but not least, we got one more person.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. We can get back to the movie. My name is Mark Streeter. I've been investing in building the space for about 7 years and helped to bring a group of incredible photographers and artists into the NFT space on Solana.
So would you be like a curator? Is that what you are? Or are you an actual artist also?
No, I've been working with the team of the photographers. There's a lot of old friends I brought on. So really been helping to onboard them into the space, talk them through it from a group of really Web2 traditional culture first people, and helping to mint and bring into NFTs.
Okay, so here's what this is. This is, and I think this is the world, and anybody, even if you're conservative, you may want to know about this, because I think in the next 5 years, this is going to be like buying a term deposit, or like buying a stock, or like anything that you get on Kickstarter. So everything that we visualize, you know, if you went into a store and bought a poster or you bought a picture, what is the value of that picture? We know that the value of that picture or that piece of art or even a piece of music or whatever you have is only as valuable as how authentic and original it is. You know, if you go buy a piece of music and you'd stream it, it's got very little value to you because you can listen to it. But if you owned the original tape and you were able to license that piece of music so that anybody who used that music had to pay you a penny, all of a sudden, that's a little more valuable to own the original piece. By the same token, any visual that you own, you know, people have posters and pictures in their house, right? What is the value of that? Whatever you spent on that, it might just be a photocopy of something you saw, or it's, you know, somebody who made a million of those. But if you have the original, and there is only one of those that is the original, the value becomes more. Then how do you know, just beyond somebody telling you, that this is the original? We're getting phone calls right now. People are ordering stuff. how do you know this is the original? And this is in this metaverse, or whatever, however this world is called, there are the term blockchain is the instrument by which controls the ownership and the value, and knows you couldn't go digitally or on a computer and find out who is the owner of this and prove you're the owner of this. You can walk into anybody's house and look at a picture on the wall, and they can tell you this is the only one, this is one of a kind, and so painted that. That's their word. In order to get value and be able to trade on that and say it is the original, and that's why it has value, just like if you're going to go buy a pair of shoes, you know, Nike. How many of this brand or how many of this style were made? The value goes up based on a new drop of those shoes in only a certain number of those shoes.
And you know it's not a knockoff.
Right. And you kind of trust that Nike is telling you the truth. But beyond that, how can you prove it yourself is by checking in with a blockchain or something on the universe. You could know the value and who owns this particular piece. Am I correct, guys?
You know a lot. You know a lot more than you let off
today. No, but what's amazing now, so as a kid growing up, I collected cards, you know? And whether I collected baseball cards, or people later on collected Pokemon cards, or collected, you know, these, because they were originals or whatever, and so many were printed, held value. Well, this world right now is making new collections of new cards. You know, we've heard of late the apes. The, what are they called?
Board of Apes.
The Board of Apes, where people like Eminem, I think he paid $1.3 million for an ape image, right? Didn't he?
Yeah. Justin Bieber recently as well.
Justin Bieber.
He
played $1.7 million. So you go, why is this picture worth $1.7 million? Or why is this art worth $1.7 million? It's worth $1.7 million because he was willing to pay $1.7 million for it. And if you know there's one and you want to buy that from him and say you want to own the one and pay him $1.8 million, so he gives it to you, you know, this is something, these are collectibles, and you could trade on them.
My husband has a new collection.
He does?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Best Buds.
Best Buds.
And it's doing well. I think it's like one of the top most viral collections right now, right, is what he tells me. He might be lying. I think it is. I'm getting a thumbs up. It is. Yeah, it's a really big deal.
And each of these collections will trade in different currencies. You know, you can buy it in Bitcoin, you can buy it on Solana, you can buy it in Ethereum. You know, these are different kinds of currency. Just like, you know, you can only buy something in American dollars, or you can only buy something with, you know, I don't know. I can't even name another currency.
Well, you have experts here in the room. Do you want to let them talk?
Well, that's why I'm explaining. I think that 90% of my audience doesn't know what I'm talking about. So this was a preamble into this. So I'm interested in this market. And I think that even if you have no interest right now, you have to listen, because these are the pop stars of this market. And when I talk about the pop stars, is the people that originally were making like the Pokemon cards, or making the, you know, all these things that we collected, are now these new pop stars. So John?
Yep.
John, you were a comic book writer, director?
I was a comic book artist. I had broken into the industry right before COVID. I got signed in 2019. We debuted the book after COVID shut down all the comic book shops. We debuted in October 28th. And a year later, I started finding myself in NFTs, and so I started releasing my work by way of auctions on Solana. Through a site called Olaplex.
On Solana, which is a
blockchain. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, a blockchain. Exactly. And it, okay.
So realistically, all I did different, so this was before NFTs here, where we did quite well for the debut book. But
did you make these drawings that I'm
looking at? So actually, this was a variant cover done by David Mack. But this is, co-owned by me. Giga is co-owned by me.
So that I can be clear. So what you started doing is you were... a comic book, am I using the right term?
Yeah, artist, yeah.
Yes, so you're a comic book artist, you're doing this in the hopes of the way you would make money,
sure.
is you would be hired by a publisher.
Sure.
And you would, but then as a publisher, let me ask you this, when in the comic book industry, mm-hmm. if you were hired and you drew Batman,
sure.
do you own any of Batman? Do you
no.
own any of the characters that
no.
you draw? So you're working for somebody else.
Right. So for corporate comics, that's where you don't own. You might have a royalty structure or something like that. But for me, it was independent comics. And so for how independent comics are generally made is you form a team together. It's normally four people. It's a writer, an artist, a colorist, and a letterer. And so then what happens is then you go into negotiations. The publisher generally takes 50% of the IP as well as the media rights, and then the artist and the writer split the 25-25. So that's where...
So you said to yourself, you know what? I feel like I'm incredibly creative. I don't
sure.
need this many partners. What I would like to do is create, I'm looking on, if you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm looking at amazing characters, amazing comic book, for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
Comic book characters from villains to heroes to, they are great. What are the names of these characters? What am I looking at?
So this is just my banner. If we scroll down, we can start seeing the price history. I think this is where it really communicates the value of what NFTs can do.
So what you did is
right.
you drew these frames for, mm-hmm. and then you put them up on the blockchain.
Right.
Do you see this?
Do
though?
People? I'm looking.
No, but do you even see the prices?
That's what I'm. I'll get to this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you put them up on the blockchain, and they're like auctioned like art.
Yes. Because it is art, Howie.
Well, it is. Yeah.
Just like art. It's just like art. Art.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
close that it pretty much is.
We're just LARPing as artists.
So I'm seeing that you put it up on an art auction.
Right.
You sell. What is the first piece that you sold?
So the first piece, if we go all the way back, if we scroll all the way down, the first piece sold for 2.8 SOL, which fair market value for that day. You'll have to keep scrolling down a little bit to 000. And so what fair market value of that day ended up being. So all of these are reflecting fair market value of today. And so my first piece ever, 000, sold for 2.8. And it was
2.8 and what kind of
2.8
currency?
2.8 Solana. And at that time, it was about $660. But then we ramped all the way up to what was our middle
peak. It
looks
like your average one right now is selling for about $20,000.
Yes, yes. So we went from
That's 20,000 American dollars.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But at the same time, a lot of these pieces sold at a high market. Where today, we're currently at $110. So that's what we're seeing here, $110 per Solana.
It easy to turn my Solana, my cash into Solana?
Instantly. We should make you a wallet today. Is
okay.
what we should
yeah.
do.
Please do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then is it easy to take my Solana once I bought something and turn that back and sell it back into
USD?
Yeah.
Yeah. Instantly.
Yes.
Instantly.
Yep. Is there a yes. is there a, an exchange rate to turn it back? Like if I buy Canadian dollars, I pay the bank
sure.
a fee.
Sure, there's a fee. I personally go through Coinbase Pro, and there's a fee to it, but it is pretty minimal. It's
so,
more taxes yeah. that you're going to be worried
so
about.
I'm seeing all these images, which are amazing.
Thank
and,
you.
And go where would they go find these images?
JohnLayStudio.olaplex.com pretty much holds. This is
John
my storefront.
John Lay Studios, L-E, with one of those. What do you call that thing on top of the E?
A hat.
Yeah. I'm getting very technical. Well, I'm just telling people not to look up L-E-E.
Sure,
it's
sure.
L-E
no,
with
yeah,
that,
yeah.
The hat.
It's an accent mark. Yeah,
an accent
yeah,
mark.
Vietnamese. Yeah.
It's
Happy New Year to you all as well.
Yeah,
oh,
today's the
you.
New Year.
Yes. Yeah, but this is not airing in New Year. It was.
You're the tiger.
Yeah. Oh,
you've already.
Year.
It's, yeah. yeah. You've
you're
already.
You're the tiger, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She yes.
Tiger.
How
yeah.
proud
very
of you.
Cultural.
Exactly.
Very cultural.
She's always been very cultural. You
it's
know
amazing.
That she says every year, "You're the tiger, right?" And everybody, and it's always been no.
No,
and
until this year.
This is her year.
She thinks every year is the year of the tiger.
This is her year.
But what I'm amazed is you sell, it seems like hundreds of pieces of art at $20,000. Now, say I go in and I buy this now, any mm-hmm. one of these, and these are value. They exist online. I could print it out, or I could have it in my home on a video screen or whatnot.
Sure.
Do people take the have there been look at this winning bid. This is 30. Number 305 went for 35,000.
And so if we were at all time high on that, Howie, that 305 right there is actually $60,000 and so, not $30,000.
So is it fluctuating because of the value of Solana current or the market, value of the art piece?
No, current market value of today. So this is reflecting $110. Last time I checked was $110 per Solana.
So why would I buy the NFT with that as opposed to, can you just buy a blank Solana that isn't used to purchase anything like a Bitcoin?
It's kind of the same thing. So you would come in with your fiat money, right? USD, and then you would buy Solana or Ethereum or Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't allow NFTs. But so then you would use that then to diversify your portfolio at this point, right? Because if you have a certain allocation in Solana, then if we're going into a sideways market, then it might be an incentive for an investor to then diversify that portfolio into something that can make more, right?
Do people buy the art? Once I bought it mm-hmm. and I paid for it in Solana, are they allowed to set it up for the one piece they have? There's only
and
one
sell
of
it?
Each. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we actually had a great list of secondary sales last week where some people had invested maybe $3,000 in me and at that fair market value of that day. And then maybe 3 to 4 weeks later, they were able to turn $3,000 into $20,000.
And then as an artist, you make a portion of that resale, right?
Yeah, so that's where we get into smart contracts. And the smart contracts, so unlike comics, right, where we go into negotiation, they dictate a percentage, I say yes or no, I dictate my percentage here. So every time one of those things sell, I take 10 to 12%.
So, but for me as the layman,
sure,
if I want to invest in the stock market or I want to invest in Solana or whatever currency or Bitcoin, the value of buying an NFT, which is a non-fungible token, the token is your art piece, the token is the music, we'll talk about you in just a second. The reason is for my purchase of that, mm-hmm. I could have it just say I have it.
Sure.
But I can also enjoy the value of owning at the same value, the visual or the audio that comes for the value. Whereas if I buy stock in Ford,
sure,
I just have a piece of paper that says I have so many shares of Ford.
Right.
But if I buy stock in John.
Yes.
And
which would be great.
Yeah. No, but then I got these cool pictures that I would like to show, watch, share.
Absolutely. And I think what we see is, especially on Solana, is when we compare it to Ethereum, if of all the crypto market, Bitcoin is our North Star and that's our compass of like where can things go based on market cap and value, then we look at Ethereum as the North Star for NFTs. So if they're 4 years in, and at the time there were guys like me that sold for minimal prices and relatively, and then in 4 years, the big auction houses of Sotheby's as well as Christie's knocked on the doors of the independent investors that invested in independent artists. So now that's the same angle that my investors are playing here. These guys are millionaires and billionaires. They don't get out of bed for a 2x. They get out of bed for a 10, 15, 20x. So what
is an X? Times their value, times
yes,
the money.
Yes, exactly. A 20X like return, right? So or ROI, return on investment. So then I think what they believe is in, you know, if tech is going to move things a little quicker. So if it took 4 years for Ethereum NFTs to then have Sotheby's and Christie's knock on their door, it might happen even sooner on Solana because the model has been proven.
It has been proven.
Exactly.
And why did you choose to do your work on Solana as opposed to Ethereum?
Right. So for me, my art career outside has
been...
Because
they give you a better percentage, probably.
No, not at all. You can do it the same way, right? I think the infrastructures of Ethereum kind of do it differently. I'm not too knowledgeable in it. But for me, I was very confident in Solana for a whole year before I got into NFTs, because I had just reached my dream job of getting comics, right? I just broke in, and I had been introduced to crypto through Solana, and I just, as I saw NFTs go and I saw how it clicked, and for me, like these days when people ask me what do NFTs actually do, why do I want an NFT, to me as an independent creator, NFTs redefined a relationship between the creator and the audience in which we can both make money together. And I don't think we've ever been afforded that opportunity until today. So,
well, it's like if I, well, I'll talk to you now, Cece.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. So you are, before you got into this, are you a singer?
So I was in the music industry for about 7 years. I did multiple.
Where are you from?
Originally China.
Okay.
Yes. But I came to the United States when I was 12 years old. Yeah. It was actually quite a journey. You know, like I started singing when I was 3, started writing songs when I was 9. And then when I first came to US at age 12, I was like making 2 records with a member of the Michael Jackson family. But then I wasn't able to release them because my family is like, no, like music career, that's a no-no, you know?
How did you get involved with the Michael Jackson family?
I just, I think it's my mom's friend met their friends, family friends. So it's like family friends. Yeah.
So you released, were you signed to a record?
No, we didn't sign, like we did 2 records, but we didn't sign anything. We didn't release anything. It's like still in my computer drive. Those 2 songs.
You should release them.
Will you? Can you release them
NFTs.
Now?
maybe yeah. Later. Yeah, down the road.
Okay, so
yeah.
Now you're in music, and then how? And then tell me the journey to where you get into this NFT and why and how.
It's quite a journey. So like it was like similar stories all along, right? Similar story all along my teenage years. I had multiple opportunities to pursue my music career, but I wasn't able to because music at the time, still at right now, is the very risky business. So you're either make it or you're starve. So it's like...
And you don't think NFTs is a risky business?
Well, I think NFT going to change the whole dynamic of like underdogs and then like the 95 long tail percent like artists. It's going to change everything.
Why?
Because the difference is like right now, if we look at like if we go through the entertainment history before for musicians or for creators, the way for them to be seen is to through the gatekeepers. Through the record labels, and then that's the only way they're able to even be seen by the people, getting on TVs and then have some exposure. And then with the merging of Web 2 and with the merging of internet platform, basically what we gave is we give creators opportunities to showcase themselves in front of an audience without the gatekeepers. Well, but the problem...
But that's YouTube and...
That's YouTube
yeah, right.
or Instagram or TikTok, so
right.
to speak.
Right.
But the problem is still like... Like right now, the problem is like you can have a musician have millions of followers on Spotify or Instagram or YouTube, but it doesn't necessarily translate into any monetary values. So like their content is basically a means to the end for them to attract, you know, eyeballs and then later sell merchandise or sell concert tickets. So their content were never the ones making the money. So their content is just a means to the end.
So then?
So then with NFT, the difference is because NFT gives these digital content intrinsic value, because like what you were saying before, like we're able to verify, okay, this song is the one and only, or this picture is the one and only. So the other ones, like even though you can listen to them, you can see them online, but they're for.
But so you, if you record a song
mm-hmm.
and you record and you're saying it's the one and only,
mm-hmm.
what's to stop anybody? Like, where does this exist? That song now. So you create a song.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that song exist?
So that song still exists on the internet, right? Still exists
right.
Online.
So I can hear it on TikTok.
Exactly. You can still hear it. But then it's just like Mona Lisa. You can see Mona Lisa's picture on Google. You can Google it. But the Google picture, you download it like online and then on your paper, it doesn't worth anything like compared to the real Mona Lisa.
So I'm looking at your website here, the Metaverse Entertainers in the coming year. So it's just this... We've created the work. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is actually not my website. It's like a consolidation of all the content CC currently has. Yeah.
But okay. And CC is a character that you play.
Yeah, CC is a character I created. Yeah.
When?
Well, I would say originally maybe long, long, long time ago, but first came to life around 2019. Yeah.
And to create it as an NFT.
At the 2019, it wasn't an NFT.
What was it?
So at the 2019, it was more about, it's like a parallel alter ego kind of creation.
Can we hear? Do you guys have any recording of her? This
is a music video, I think, right?
Yeah, let me hear her.
This is a trailer, actually.
A trailer.
This is a trailer for the song. You can actually go down if you
go down.
If you go scroll down.
Scroll down.
Yeah. If you scroll down.
I want people down. Who are listening to hear what.
So you can scroll up a little bit. So the CC is Dreaming Metaverse First Ever Digital Pop Star. So you want to listen to the song, you want to watch the first episode video.
Well, I want people. People are mostly, this is mostly audio. So I want people to hear what we're talking about.
Oh, if you want to hear, then you need to go back. Go back to the other one. Okay. And then scroll down
yeah,
a little bit more.
This is a podcast.
Scroll down a little bit.
In so, the and then regular you, universe.
It's an ABM event.
People, this is like radio.
Don't let the cameras fool you.
Yeah. And then scroll down a little bit.
We'll share it with YouTube.
So yeah, this one. This is CC's Art Basel Miami show. The one.
So you were just in Miami, which is the biggest
the
art.
The one below.
So it kind of looks like you, though. Is it a digital? Who did the art for it?
I have a team. Yeah, okay. I have a great team working on this.
I wish I had a team.
You do have a team. There's people that are looking up. This is like a concert.
Yeah, it was the concert CC did at Basel, Miami. It's not even online yet, so.
Oh, we're getting a first
look.
Where did people go to see this?
Nowhere, because it's not online yet.
Nowhere. They haven't seen it yet unless they've been at Art Basel,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, unless they've been at Art Basel. They've seen it live. So we did this whole show in a dome. So CC appears as a 3D avatar, so it's like a very immersive experience.
This character, do they use you? Is it motion capture?
So they modeled after me, but we have a dancer contribute to the dance of CC. The music is fine.
You?
The songs. Later you will hear. Right now is the intro.
Are you playing the music though?
No, the song is my song. So, and then all the song is my song, and then this is like the intro part of the show.
Is the idea that you'll be able to sell tickets in the metaverse to go see like concerts and stuff like that? Or are you selling just your music? Like just the song itself? Or are people going to be able to come see you later on?
Be able to see.
Play here. Play from here. I want to hear her singing. So what I'm watching now, it's a beautiful world, digital world, and fire and cars, and I'm watching an avatar of you dance. Mm-hmm. And is that you singing? Is that your voice?
Yeah, that's my voice.
Okay. And do you play any of the instruments? It's all computer generated.
Mostly computer generated.
Do you do that?
Have a producer.
You have a producer.
Yeah.
And do you write the music?
Yeah, I write the music.
And I know you've collaborated with people like that are well known in the regular pop world, right? Haven't you?
So not necessarily. Yeah.
Oh, not
yeah,
necessarily.
Yeah. So
you were bringing them to China, what I read, right? To do performances there.
Yes. Yeah, so before my artist career, because my parents weren't allow me to do artist career. So I had to ended up in UC Irvine, undecided, undeclared, because I don't know why I was there. My parents wants me to be there. So at there, I actually get into the concert business, like the show business through like event promotion. So I become an event promoter. I started booking these DJs with all the other student organizations. So we did a lot of big festivals.
At UCLA, you're saying?
UC Irvine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now you are this digital artist, right? Or this, what you call it a digital, right? You're the CC, what's it called? CC Dream?
CC.
Okay. Yeah. And where do people, and so what can people purchase of CC? What are you selling?
So later, actually good you're asking. So by the end of this month, February 22nd, I'm actually releasing the first batch of CC's NFT collection. So it's going to be 1111 pieces, and it's going to be the animation video. You guys haven't saw it yet, but the animation video, which is the first episode of a 10-episode series talking about CC's world.
And how do you decide on the value?
So the value, right now, I'm still going to have to talk with a couple advisors, but mainly it's going to be fair market price. Yeah.
How would people even know about this character or to give it some value? Is that what you do?
that is not what I do. No, that is not what I do. But I do support everyone in the ecosystem and promote amazing people doing amazing things.
But are you
not professionally? No, not professionally, but just because that's a lot of what also is a big part of the
crypto ethos. So who are you? What's your name?
Who am I? Oh, my name is Mark Streeter.
He's a new dad.
Yeah, I am a new dad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
but are you just finding out now?
No, I've been coping with it for 2 months now.
Tired.
Yes.
Do you consider this one child to be like an NFT?
One of one? She is the one of one non-fungible, yes. Yeah. That we will hodl, so to speak.
So what do you do? What are you doing in this world?
I wear a couple of hats, to be fair. I've been for a decade, a traditional finance guy out of Tokyo, London, New York from 2008 to 18. And then left to get into crypto and help bring projects from Asia into the United States to Asia back then. Fast forward to today, I'm a member of a venture fund called Culture Capital. A big piece of what we do is help to bring just dynamic, culturally relevant content creators and communities into the metaverse. Because if you think, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but if you think about what crypto was for the past 5 years, it's been a lot of redefining finance, right? Using tokens for decentralized finance to redefine what that means.
Right.
But if you look to the next step and building on top of that infrastructure and those layers, we really have a chance to use tokens, NFTs being one form of token, to help redefine and bring value to consumers in a different way through ownership models, through online native cultures and communities, because tokens also allow coordination and incentivization in ways across borders that never existed before. So a lot of what I do is not only investing in individual projects, but also really working with dynamic people that I've known from my past, helping to bring them into the space. And that's where Street Dreams Cafe comes into the
fold. So the Street Dreams Cafe, is that the platform for...
I'm a fully separate entity, Howie. Although I appreciate you continuing to group me with CC because I want that clout, that brand value, but no, I'm a separate entity over here.
But your entity would go to, I know you may not go to them, but your entity would go to a CC, right? Wouldn't you sell an artist on your...
It isn't even really about selling an artist on something. It's what we're hearing in the world. I mean, there's been the zeitgeist right now, NFT and metaverse, right? The most overused term in the history of the last 12 months. It's everywhere, right?
So what is the metaverse?
I think it's different for everybody. My personal perspective, I really think about it in a very literal way. I think of as simple as Roblox, right? Where your kids are running around with avatars and they're buying items in game that then they can be represented. That's a very narrow definition, but that's how I kind of like to segment things.
Right.
But you can say it's basically everything living in this digital value layer. So,
but that's what, yep. my interpretation of all this is, everything has value.
Yes.
I'm 66 years old. A Pokemon card didn't mean anything to me, but I know that people spend big money. I think it was Logan. Didn't he get ripped off for like $13 million?
Yeah.
I think he spent $1.3 million or $13 million. Mm-hmm. If anybody knows what it is.
It was
$1.3 million on a collection of Pokemon, and then found out they weren't legitimate, right?
Yeah. See, that's
so. That's exactly what. You could invest in anything. You could invest in a classic car,
right.
But then you find out it was rebuilt, and this is not the original
or
paint.
With art, I just saw that Netflix special where everyone was buying all that fake art, remember, and duping everyone, and they found out later on that it wasn't the original artist.
Yeah,
yeah, and they were spending millions and millions of dollars on. Yeah. These art pieces. So with this,
so what I'm saying is, in the metaverse, which are where all these blockchains exist, you're giving a an image or a sound to
you're able to because of blockchain technology, right? We're able to trace ownership and with that full transparency for any digital asset. Mm-hmm. So that could be for a ticket stub, right? So that we could kind of cut out. Like that's just like lowest hanging fruit, right? Where it's a ticket stub, and when it goes to, scalpers, like this kind of solves that issue as well, where we can actually track ownership and you're not buying fake tickets. And
that's the best explanation I've heard. Right. So I have friends who've been duped so many times in concerts, and they bought, it wasn't a real ticket. So that's why I think that this sounds very kind of forward thinking right now.
Sure.
But I think it is a technology that's coming so fast where it's going to be the norm.
Yes.
And
exactly.
This is how where we're going to collect our art, where we're going to collect our knowledge, where we're going to collect our music, where we're going to collect culture.
It goes beyond that, though,
identity.
Too.
Identity.
Oh, please, Cici, go ahead.
And I think also identity, too, right? Like, eventually, a lot of our assets or a lot of our value is going to shift from like physical into the digital, and then the digital world is going to become more and more like, I would say, consuming our lives. And then so like the assets
and we make up what an asset is.
Yes.
You know, we've always, even though this sounds like it's Star Wars and it's beyond this, you know, people feel good because they have a brand patch on a shirt. You could buy a black shirt, but if your shirt says Gucci on it, we made that up, that becomes more valuable. This is kind of the same thing.
It's exactly what that. I mean, you know, we can go around and dress how we dress and express ourselves, but then you go into like a Twitter group or a group DM or any, or like direct message, right? And, you know, we can't show off our shoes, we can't show off our cars, we can't show off our houses or whatever, but we can show off what we call a PFP, which is a profile picture. And that kind of becomes the embodiment of your online persona. So I think that's where one part, and I think that's why PFP is what, that's why we see the Beavers. I forgot who else you guys brought up of buying the Bored Apes. Eminem, Jimmy Fallon, Paris Hilton, right? So they buy these Bored Apes, they're online entities. That's the flex there, right? You know what I mean? So, and it all depends on what room you're in. Because if you're in a conference room where people want Rolexes, then you're not going to roll up in a Seiko. Right. And same thing with a conference call that is online. You know, if you're trying to flex on that kind of nature, you know, what I mean, you're going to even with our Apple watches, we're displaying our PFPs on our watches. You know what I mean? Just to kind of show
PFP standing for
profile picture.
OK, I'm not down.
No. Yeah. We're going to have to get you a PFP is what we're going to have to do.
Better than an STD.
As I always say.
So what you're backing now, though, is photography, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's two things I want to add on to what John and what Cici have been discussing. And it's also when you look at Bored Ape as a great example, it's not just an image that has clout in the metaverse, but also what you're able to program into these NFTs or into tokens is the ability to use them as access keys, right? So if you want to join Discord, is basically the platform where most of what's happening in crypto lives, right? The channels and the chat groups and what have you.
Right.
But in the last 18 months, roughly, there's been a new technology stack that keeps coming out and allows you to use your tokens as basically a key. So you can't access the website, you can't access the group chat, you can't access the video stream with Howie Mandel unless you have that Howie NFT. So it goes beyond just being a piece of art that has speculative value. You also are able to look at that as a way to participate within a larger community, but a closed community of a certain amount of participants. And then as the creator of an NFT.
Well, it's kind of a legitimate, cleaner way of OnlyFans.
to be fair, there's a lot of different ways to approach it. And with Street Dreams, back to your point earlier, you know, this is a photography community that was based out of Instagram from, I believe it was 2014, and started a hashtag Street Dreams Magazine, right? Incredibly dynamic, had people from all over the world contributing. They would then turn them into monthly magazine or quarterly magazines. In the Web 2 world, physical, and it really allowed for artists and photographers in a medium that had been sort of commoditized, right? Because Instagram makes everyone's a photographer now. Okay. It allowed you to sort of not separate the wheat from the chaff, that's the wrong way to put it, but really elevate true fine art in the street photography format. So
What has been the most expensive sale in street photography?
Oh, God, I would have to check. Actually, the Street Dreams team about 7 or 8 months ago helped to execute a sale by a photographer named Amos. And that was of XXX Tentacion's only photo he's ever posted on Instagram. Amos took that photograph as a concert photographer, shared it with XXX, who was like, yo, I love this. This is so hot. La, 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 la. He posted on his Instagram and then never actually credited the photographer. Unfortunately, we know he passed away. There was a long-running dispute there, but the bottom line was the artist who actually took the photo, created the moment, never saw any kind of return from that or even any credit for that. So the team helped him launch his NFT. That went out, again, 8-9 months ago at about $125,000 for a single standalone photo of this piece. It was the single most liked piece of content on Instagram, most commented on even today. It's getting I think it was, yeah, there's the image right there.
Wow.
Something like 6 comments a minute, right? Today. So you have these digital images.
Who owns this now?
God, I would have to go and check. I'm not sure. I haven't followed it, to be honest with you, Howie.
So knowing that this universe and this market is growing, like you said, mm-hmm. that went out at $125,000. Would there be a market right now for he or she or them to resell that?
Of course.
For
much more or much less, it's that depends on the market dynamics.
Does that depend on the value of Solana or the value of the...
No, this was actually sold on the Ethereum blockchain, so it's separate. No, it depends on the market value and where people want to place that value. But the beauty is that what blockchain unlocks are global marketplaces, right?
Right.
This isn't a U.S. marketplace powered by U.S. dollars. This is anybody in the world who has, be it Ethereum or Solana in the case of what we've been discussing, or U.S. dollar coin, which is pegged to the dollar, can participate. So you're getting much larger liquidity. Mm-hmm. You're getting larger direct-to-consumer marketplaces that didn't exist before. You're removing the middleman or middlewoman gatekeepers who not only kind of segment out what is and what isn't art, but take 20 to 50% of the fees. And then, as we discussed earlier, following on, the artists who create capture royalties for every subsequent sale, so capture that entire value chain.
How volatile and safe is something like Ethereum or Solana, or like, how do we even know it's going to exist in 2 years?
I really don't like to make prognostications about value on tokens or anything like that trading, but the way I look at it personally is, I look at the developers, I look at adoption, I think of it something called, you know, the Lindy effect. The longer it exists, the better chance it will continue to exist. And when I see, you know, whether it's Bitcoin and some of the biggest macro investment funds in the world pouring capital in, or I see our state senators, our mayors in Miami, our mayor in New York, our senators out of Austin, Texas, pushing to not only accept their salaries in crypto, but also allow for tax payments and things like that in crypto, I think the space in aggregate has a lot of potential to continue going forward. But beyond that, it's really bigger. So this, just to bring it right back to Street Dreams Cafe quickly, you know, this is the online, the Web3 version of what Street Dreams has done through their Instagram community. It was a South Street Seaport in New York, mm-hmm. hosted a beautiful, incredible outdoor gallery that the Street Dreams Photography Collective curated, about 45 artists for all of last summer. We took those artists and brought them all together. And you were mentioning Pokemon cards, right? And
right.
baseball cards. What we've done with Street Dreams through Metaplex is they actually helped us build out a tech stack that allowed for randomized card packs. So turning these photographer creators into almost collectible folks. So you don't know what you're getting. You buy the pack, and I have one in my wallet to send to you once you get your Phantom wallet set up, and I'd love to share it. But you open it, and you don't know what's there. So it could be something like this. Joseph Rodriguez is an amazing street photographer who's been around for ages. President Obama wrote him a letter calling him a cultural gem. I mean, really properly historic artists. And we had some community-submitted artists from within the Street Dreams community who are now a part of these packs and collectibles. And to your question earlier, why Solana, right? Just to be very blunt, I'm not a chain maximalist. I think all technologies have wonderful spaces in the ecosystem. But when I want to buy a piece of art on Ethereum, usually I'm spending $70, $80, $100, $150 just in gas fees. So just to actually power the technology to allow me the privilege of buying a piece of art on top of that. It's not very accessible, it's not very inclusive, and it causes a lot of friction for users, right?
Yep.
But when you look at what brought me to Solana, why I helped told my friends this is the platform you should look at, was the fact that the user interface and the experience, it costs 0.00005 of a dollar to send something. You transact for free, it's almost instant. And so it lowers
the
threshold.
When you're saying, like, I don't understand. I've heard this terminology before.
Yes.
So I don't understand why over one currency, what do you mean it takes so much energy?
It's just the tech, right? So, and how mm-hmm. the tech was designed. So I believe that we're all, like, of course, we're chain agnostic. But, you know, the reason why a lot of our business is on Solana is because of the scalability that the technology provides.
Yes.
So you had asked me earlier, why would I go with Solana over Ethereum if that's where fine art is? Well, the thing is, I'm not as big as a lot of artists. I saw an open lane on Solana. But on top of that is what I think we're seeing is internet gentrification for the first time. We're seeing artists move to a cheaper blockchain that is more accessible, because say I mint something on Ethereum and it costs, you know, $150 to $300. What if my piece sells for $100 And then I lose money. I had to spend money to close. Then I'm back into the fiat world.
Does it cost you money to?
That's what he was just saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the difference
that's
is.
That's the difference. Solana costs them.
But right. It costs to create and to buy for exactly. Your consumer as well. Yeah. They have to swallow the fee. You have to exactly. Swallow the fee to create it.
And so say when I sold one piece for $30,000, I invested $1 into myself to make $30,000. So that's the reason why, because we're mitigating the risk now because the technology is enabling us to mitigate the risk and make it less of a risk because we're artists at the end of the day. And like you said, it's a risky path, right? I mean, you've been doing this for how long? And when it started, it was a very risky path. There was no guarantees for us. So this is just the way that, okay, well, for me personally as an artist then, do I pay $450 to sit on a convention floor and stand and smile and hope that people buy enough that I break even? Or do I invest a dollar into myself?
So now I understand why you're on. So in kind of wrapping up here, what
same for the consumer too, they were
that's
saying.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, also right. Environment.
And the environment.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But what is the message for the future of art, pop culture, investing? What is the message? What is the overall message that my audience can?
Yeah, just to start it off, I think it's disruption. That there is a way that we've nodded our heads and agreed that this is the way the world works and we've adapted and a lot of us have been able to become successful from it. A lot of us have failed because of it, because of the old structures that we were born into. I think what we will see in the future is disruption of all these fields from music to illustration to photography. We'll see true disruption in which I won't be over leveraged in a negotiation meeting to give away 50% of my IP just to pay rent. I can renegotiate now because I am enabled by blockchain technology.
So it's kind of cutting out the middleman, right?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and we consume art, we consume fashion, we consume music, we consume culture, mm-hmm. We consume that. But there was always a middleman. There was no happy medium.
Exactly.
There was a, as sure. You explained, is that there was either
you make it, or
you make it and didn't get paid for it anyhow.
Exactly.
So it's just free on YouTube.
But then again, right? I don't know if it completely, I don't think it's binary where we cut out the middlemen of labels and publishers mm-hmm. and studios. I think they all still have a part and a role to play in this. But because we're disrupting the nature of the business, I believe we will force them to adapt. To move with us into the future. Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to do this podcast, very different than what I do. And it's right. Usually silly and fun and everything. But I really feel that we are, as you used the word, we're on the cusp. We've probably passed the cusp, but just the average person doesn't.
For the 66-year-old, we're almost near the cusp.
But you know, an old guy. You showing curiosity, you choosing curiosity over judgment, is the way to the future.
Well, you know, it's also scary for somebody my age that has no real knowledge of knowing that this exists, knowing that it is growing,
right.
Knowing that every time I turn the corner and read, I didn't know 3 years ago there was something called Solana. You know, I knew what Bitcoin was and it sounded crazy. And then I watched Bitcoin become, you know, just part of the...
Not crazy.
Right, not crazy. And I watch governments starting to acknowledge it and doing that. And then I love art. Yeah. I really do. But and I understand the value. And then I was listening to... Who's the guy that I listen to? Gary V.
Oh, right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Gary V. I listened to him on a podcast talk about how we create our own values
right.
In brands and logos and mm-hmm. sounds and things like that's all this is.
Yes.
And then it's just a mechanism to be able to track it and give go ahead, what were you gonna say?
Track it, but also participate with it in a fundamentally different way.
Right.
Because there's the art piece, but what's really important is that art as a key and as opening the door to communities where like-minded individuals globally are congregating, are seeing value, are coordinating together to, you know, you can think about some of these communities as almost just a co-op, basically mm-hmm. a shared co-op, mm-hmm. digitally native with a bank account where you can all vote and decide how do you allocate those assets. So you can actually put money and momentum behind movements, and NFTs are one way as almost a gate to those communities that.
But I also
behind.
Understand, you know, as somebody who's lived many, many decades, you know, flexing is part of humanity.
Totally.
And, you know, whether you're flexing because you have a nice car and you live in a shitty apartment, but you'll be able to drive around and show that, or whether sure. you don't have a car and you don't even have an apartment, but you have a, you know, some Gucci or some chains on, and so you think that people can see you and that makes you feel better about yourself. We've always created that. The fact mm-hmm. is that, and COVID kind of accelerated this, we're not intermingling anymore in this universe.
Yeah.
We live in the metaverse. So we have to find replacements for our flexing.
Which
and
is
we
why
need to
we
own
have the
things.
PFPs and stuff right. like that Absolutely. Now that's on your watch and
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this yeah. is the new world. And thanks for opening up the gate a little bit for me. And I'm looking to find ways to participate. I think that people who don't participate are really going to miss out. And I think what's really dazzling to me and kind of shocking is how fast this is moving and how it's changing. You know, I come from the school of thought where you buy a piece of land and you invest in GE.
Sure.
And I think that's gone. By the way, I mean, you still can.
You still can, but there's just, you know, as the future goes.
But that's kind of more passive and less enjoyable.
Also, that's right. less accessible to everyone because you have to be wealthy enough to buy a piece of land or property to invest in that. Right now, this is becoming way more accessible and you can show your personality or become part of a community, right? Because you're deciding what you're investing in that represents you.
Wow.
And exactly. geographically.
Look at this. What are you showing me now? This is the Solanesis. This is what's been going on this week.
In the NFT space on Solana. Yep. Yes, yeah. indeed.
Tell me, because I don't know all the questions to ask. This is pretty interesting. These are big numbers. What am I looking at right now?
These are PFP projects, or these are all the projects that Solana. Are the
But I'm looking at billions of dollars.
Yes, yes. So that's the market cap, right?
Right.
Right. How much money is in these projects?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many people are in this? Have invest how many? Because you're saying that they're mostly like million and billionaires. Who
No. I mean, there's some people that got in and became billionaires because they got in early.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is not early anymore.
No, we're still early, Howie.
Still early.
So we're on month four for Solana NFTs, technically, from the boom.
Oh, and people have already become billionaires. Is there something that you want to say before I wrap up that I've missed out on? That you want a message that you want to give my audience that'll change the way they think right now, and maybe an overall wrapping up each one of you. You want to say something?
Just a big thank you for you guys giving us a platform to talk about this, because it is an interesting topic, and especially from the art perspective, it's a very divisive topic. So to be able to talk about this and educate others and kind of, you know, cater to the curiosities and kind of answer to judgments, like, I think this is a beautiful opportunity. So thank you so much for having
You're
us.
You're welcome. Anybody else want to add anything?
I mean, I would just say that if you're interested in photography and in collectibles, like you just said, you know, technology is actually unlocking entirely new forms of collectibles, entirely new forms of ways to interact, discover, and play with art. And there's lots of different mediums and lots of ways to approach it. And so I think all of your audience really shouldn't be afraid. It's not a spectator's space. Get involved and take a look.
Would you guys be available if, when this goes up on YouTube, if anyone has any questions, they can leave them in the comments. Would you guys be available to answer any questions they may have?
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
100%. That is great.
And then CeCe, did you have a closing? Yeah.
Yeah, just add on to John and Mark say, I think for us, like for everybody out there to listen, is like the NFT or the blockchain is definitely a revolution. It's a revolution we're going on, like with the whole humanity together.
Wow, I'm part of a revolution.
Yes.
Welcome, Howie.
Oh, my
you
God.
You could be our leader.
Yes. Howie revolutionizes. That is fantastic. I see people raising their fists in the air in the other room. This is really, really exciting. I can't thank you enough for coming here. I was incredibly curious. I still am curious. I'm looking to dip my toe in this. I hope that people that are listening and watching want to dip their toe. When does your music come out?
So the first NFT collection, February 22nd.
We'll watch for that.
Yes.
And what's it called, CeCe?
So it's the Genesis video.
The Genesis video. Not to be confused, Phil Collins. We shouldn't look for Phil Collins.
The other Genesis video.
The other Genesis video.
Yeah.
All right. This has been, I want everybody to rate, review, subscribe. Thank you.